Welcome to the WP Tonic This Week in WordPress and SaaS podcast, where Jonathan Denwood interviews the leading experts in WordPress, e-learning, and online marketing to help WordPress professionals launch their own SaaS.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic This Week in WordPress and SaaS. This is episode 905. That's right, 905. Oh, my godfathers. We've got a really great show here, folks. We've got Jamie Marsland, the founder of Poodle Press and his great YouTube channel, a great supporter, evangelist for Gutenberg. He's agreed to come into the lion's den to face me. Should be a great discussion. I'm sure he's going to handle me very easily. He's much brighter than me. So, Jamie.
Pretty confident about this one.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. So, Jamie, would you like to give the audience a quick intro about yourself, a quick 10, 20-second intro?
So after a long corporate career running publishing businesses and software businesses, I started this business about 13 years ago, I think it was, Poodle Press. And originally, we were just a WordPress training business. So I think I probably personally trained more people face-to-face on WordPress than anyone else in the world. I'm going to claim that. So I was running two courses a week for about 10 years with 20 people a week, something like that. Probably, and then I also ran courses for the Guardian newspaper, part of their digital masterclass. Also taught at Regent's University and then a lot of private training as well. So I was steeped in training to start with. So, and actually that's informed a lot of the kind of my awareness of what's going on in the WordPress ecosystem and how people actually use WordPress, because there's nothing like actually standing in front of a room of people and seeing actually how they use it. So I have years of experience of seeing people face to face using WordPress, which actually thinking about it is quite a, it's been a privilege really. It's been fantastic. And then about 5 or 6 years ago, we started building, maybe longer actually, we also started building WordPress plugins. So now we are a training business with plugins as well, mostly focused around, not originally actually, but focused around WooCommerce. So we have a plugin called Storefront Pro, which is takes a storefront theme and lets you do extra cool stuff to it. And then we have a number of block-based plugins like WooBuilder Blocks that lets you customize the product page, and Gutenberg Pro, which adds extra functionality to the core Gutenberg editor. And one called Block Injector, which is really cool, lets you inject blocks dynamically in any part of your WordPress website, including like WooCommerce. So we are now a training and plugin business. And then over the last 2.5 years, I've been committing big time to YouTube, which is kind of probably where people know me from rather than all the other work I've done over the last 14 years. But it's been.
Yeah, you really become an evangelist for Gutenberg. I was going to utilize another word, but I decided evangelist would be the most.
Yeah, and actually, we have a plugin called Caxton, which was demoed at the launch of Gutenberg in Nashville. And I was there in the audience when Matt sort of, I didn't know he was going to do it, but Matt Rothenweg showed a little snippet of what our plugin does. So I was all in on Gutenberg before it was even launched because I could see where things were heading. But we'll get into some of that stuff as well, probably.
Yeah, sure. And I've got my great co-host. I've got Kurt with me. Kurt, would you like to quickly introduce yourself to new listeners and viewers?
Yeah, folks. My name is Kurt Von Annen. I own an agency called Manana No Mas. I focus a lot on learning and membership websites in the WordPress space. And then I work directly with Jonathan at WP Tonic and the great folks at Lifter LMS.
That's great. We've got a couple of sponsor messages from our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
Hi there, tribe. It's Jonathan here, and I want to tell you about OmenSend. OmenSend is a great plugin that delivers SMS messaging and email messaging to your clients. If you're building a woo solution for your client and you're looking to provide a SMS functionality for them and great email, why don't you look at OmenSend? Got a great special deal. You can go to wp-tonic.com/deals and they're offering 30% off the first 3 months. Plus, if you need any technical help or a migration, they're offering almost $1,000 to help migrate if you've got a group of clients that are looking for this type of service. It's a great offer. They're a great company. I highly recommend them to you. So, like I say, go over to the deals page on the WP Tonic website and you'll find more details there. Speak to you soon, folks. Bye.
We're coming back, folks. Before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great show, I want to point out we've got some great special offers, plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services. You can find all these goodies for you, the WordPress professional, by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. And you'll find all the free goodies there. What more could you ask for as a WordPress professional? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get from that bloody page. So there we go. So let's go straight into it. I think you've answered question one in your intro, actually. So let's go to question two, Jamie. So would you agree that Gutenberg has great potential, but also would you agree that it faces some significant challenges in real progress and being adopted in 2024, because I think, in all fairness to you, as the evangelist, one of the things I like about your content is that you're not afraid to also point out there are some problems. So how would you describe the landscape that Gutenberg finds itself at the beginning of 2024, Jamie?
I think it's, good question. I think it's important to sort of differentiate between, I think one of the ways to look at Gutenberg, and a useful way to look at Gutenberg, is thank you for the CSS grill build. I just did a video a few minutes ago, so it's getting a good reaction. Is almost to look at it as like the separate applications of Gutenberg. As there's a block editor application of Gutenberg, and there's a Tumblr application of Gutenberg, and there's a Drupal application of Gutenberg, and there's a site editing application of Gutenberg. And I think if you look at like where the block editor's at, I think that's mature, and I don't have any issue with saying that's, you know, a fantastic product. And, you know, I hear this a lot where people say, well, beginners can't use it. But trust me, I've been in a room and I've trained thousands of people on Gutenberg, and I've barely ever had anyone. I mean, this is not anecdotal. This is me in front of people seeing how they use it, complain about it. If you bring somebody into Gutenberg and they've never used WordPress before, they're a complete beginner, they love it, you know, if it's taught in the right way. So I'm really confident about where the block editor, the editing experience is at. It's definitely, obviously there's things you can improve, and we'll probably dive into some of that stuff. But I think as a product, I think it's, you know, I think it's really great and mature and amazing and lets people do really cool stuff. I think if you take block themes as an application of Gutenberg, I think that has massive potential, but that has probably the most work to do from where I sit. And I think a lot of that work is the UI. Architecturally, I think it's incredibly powerful what's built in. So every single block theme, regardless of what block theme you have, lets you customize, has a theme builder in it, right? Every single one, regardless of which one you use. The theme developer doesn't have to build this stuff. Everything I'm about to mention, they don't have to build this stuff into it. It just comes. So you have global styles. You have a theme builder. You have, Kurt, we were talking off air. You have a WooCommerce builder where you can customize the product page and the shop page and the My Account page. That stuff is all built into every single block theme out of the box. So, and it has, you know, the ability to create custom post types and customize custom post types and create new page templates. So every single block theme starts off with this amazing level of functionality that you just don't get out of the box if you just built a classic theme and you didn't build any settings into it. A block theme naturally, just by the nature of the architecture, has this amazing functionality just built in the box. Don't have to do anything. You know, I could go off and take the 2024 theme and use the create block theme plugin to create my own theme, and I'd have all this amazing functionality which rivals other page builders out of the box. So I think that the architecture is definitely there. There's obviously things you could do to improve it. But I think the biggest issue for me when I look at block themes, it's the UI and the difficulties around the UI. And I think some of that complexity is around how you take a block abstraction and then a page editing experience, and you move that across into a theme building experience. And I think that's where threading that needle is I wouldn't underestimate how challenging that is to do. But it's almost like we've done the hard architectural stuff's been done with block themes, a lot of the plumbing. It's the UI polishing that needs to happen.
If I could just jump in, because in your introduction you mentioned something and then it kind of came up again in that answer, and it's one of the challenges I face in dealing with clients, because I have, as an agency, I get clients that are beginners and clients that have used page builders and that whole gamut, right?
Yeah.
And I've been using WordPress since 2004. And so I've seen a distinct change along the way, like almost phases in the intended use that people are trying to do with WordPress. Like, I think there's a certain air of dissatisfaction for people that have been in it for a long time because we're expecting it to have continued to grow at some pace. And then we interviewed Matt Mullenweg and he said, well, we're 7 years into a 10-year project, and it kind of like reset the grid.
I don't know where that bloody idea came from, but there we go.
How, Jamie, do you see, having trained so many people, how do you see like the intended use of it has changed or morphed, or the expectation of it has morphed? And then has it kept up with the expectations?
Yeah, I think if block themes have an issue at the moment in terms of adoption, which I just spoke about. But you know, if you look at things like Cadence and Generate Blocks and Astra, in terms of, I was looking today actually just before this, in terms of those block plugins, Cadence is 400,000 download active installs. It's getting about 10,000 downloads a day. Spectra is 600,000 installs, 8,000 a day. Generate Blocks is 200,000 installs, about 2,000 a day. So these are succeeding, and people are, you know, if you look at the reviews, people are absolutely loving those products, and those are all built on top of Gutenberg. So I'm not sure I've answered your question, but I think it's been to do what they've done, as in introduce a new editor while WordPress still carries on along its path. It's not an insignificant project to try and do something like that. And sure, there have definitely been issues. But the potential is incredible, I think. And where we're at is the stuff that's planned for this year in particular, thing like pattern overrides, I'm incredibly excited about. The next iteration of block themes. There's some really cool stuff coming our way. And there has been a step change in terms of the leadership. I feel a step change in terms of the leadership and the caliber of the people that are working. Not that they weren't, but the caliber of the people that are in that team now, like Nick Diego and Rich Table and Justin Tadlock. So it feels like there's been a step change in terms of two things. One is the sort of the demand for pace of change. I can feel that when I speak to them. And I also feel like the communication has taken a big step change, especially in the last couple of months, actually, in terms of the outreach that that team is doing. So I'm pretty hopeful for where we're at.
I agree with you a lot with your statement there. I think it's 5 years a bit late. I think the situation can be turned around quite rapidly. And I think what you've just pointed out, Jamie, is a good sign. It's just a shame that it's taken such a considerable amount of time for that situation to fundamentally change. I do also agree with you.
Yeah, but sorry to interrupt. We've had, you know, incredible successful companies that have, you know, like I've just gone through the stats, that have built incredibly successful products on top of Gutenberg that are having major success. And if you look at the stats of how many people are using Gutenberg, which I sent you, I think, a few months ago, Jonathan, you know, it's astonishing how many people are using it every day to post and create content. So it probably, I mean, it definitely feels really slow, but I wouldn't underestimate how, well, a couple of things. One, the challenge of the project and also the challenge of an open source project. It's not like you can just pull it, you know, when you speak to the team in running this stuff, it's not just
can
like...
Can I respond to that?
Just, I'm just going to finish my analogy. It's not like you can pull a lever up here and suddenly something comes out the bottom. And you have this real conflict in an open source project where you have some people saying, we need more direction, we need more direction, you need to tell us what to do. And that actually those same people in the next breath are saying, we need more say, we need more democracy. So it's not an easy, you know, it is slightly chaotic by the nature of WordPress, and it, you know, always has been really.
My response to that is that there's, I can see where you're coming from, and I think there's an element of truth there. I also think it's a crutch that's been utilized to cover up a project that's been mismanaged quite considerably.
Look, I would say go and get involved in it. And so
I'm not prepared to.
You know what I'm saying?
Because it's. I'm not prepared to spend.
I'm not saying to you. You don't have a say unless you get involved in it. I'm saying go and get involved in it and see how it's run.
I don't need to. I've observed the way it's run, and I've not been impressed until recently because of the quality of people that have now taken over to some extent, and they have the credos and leadership ability. In my opinion, until recently, it's been a dog's breath of a project.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you can't say that stuff unless you know the detail of how it's run.
I do, Jamie. I just disagree with your synopsis.
You're disagreeing on something you don't have any knowledge of.
Well, we have to agree to disagree on that, Jamie.
Well, all I'm saying is if you criticize a project and then you're saying you're not prepared to go and find out about how the project is run, I think that's an issue.
Well, I do know how it's been run. I just don't agree to be actively involved in it. That's why we're agreeing to disagree, because I don't agree with the framing that you're putting around my position, Jamie.
Okay.
Right? Which is fair enough. But I think it has enormous potential. I do also agree with you with the UX design element, but I link that to the actual poor project management and the poor leadership of the project. I'm totally up for it, Jamie.
It's an easy comment to say, but what are you basing that on?
With the statistics in your own, the poor uptake in block themes, you just pointed out a full site editor.
Sorry to be a pedant, but what I'm saying is you can look at the stats, but what I'm saying is why are you drawing the conclusion? I mean, you may be right, but I'm just saying unless you know the detail of how it's project managed, it feels like a bit of an erroneous comment to make.
Right, because of the output, and we're six years into it.
But you can have the best project management in the world and you can still have poor output. What I'm saying is it's an easy and slightly lazy comment to make that you're going to say the project management is terrible when you're not actually knowing the detail of.
So you link quality project management. You don't link outcome with the actual quality of the supervision and leadership. Normally, poor outcome is around the management and the leadership of a particular project, Jamie. Based on my experience, you might have a totally different position, Jamie.
Yeah, no, I've been in projects where the project management's been brilliant and the output's been terrible, so especially some corporate ones. Well, so you know, and I think I'll push back on that. I mean, I don't think the output's been terrible as well. So I think it kind of irritates me a bit because you hear this a lot with Gutenberg, kind of lazy comments, but people don't know how hard it is to actually run a project like that unless you get into the weeds of the detail. And sure, it's not perfect. But it feels like You need to know the detail of how this is run if you're going to criticize the project management. If you don't know what project management processes are, you can say the outputs aren't.
Yeah, but I like to say, we have to agree to disagree, because I feel, sorry,
you're from management. If you're not aware of what the project management is.
Well, I am, Jamie. I'm perfectly aware.
Let's get into it. Which bits? Which bits of the project management?
I think there's groupthink. I think it comes from a passive-aggressive management style of WordPress and Gutenberg especially. I think it's down to I think this situation is changing for the better, but a groupthink mentality that is ingrained in the WordPress project, where passive aggressive techniques of blocking. I'd rather not, actually, because I fear the consequences of really being honest about it, Jamie, which are commercially would be considerable. So I don't feel I want to go down that pathway, Jamie.
Okay.
All right. Because a lot of people have been cut out, blocked, their financial situation have been damaged when they've attempted to try an input. And as you know,
that may have happened, but I ran a 1-hour video stream with Brian Courts last week, where we kind of forensically took apart what some of the issues with block themes. And actually the reaction we got was really positive. So you can only speak from your own experience really with this stuff.
Well, yeah, I'm tempted to remark about my opinion about Brian, but I'm not going to. So I think I'm going to throw it over to Kurt for the next question. Over you go, Kurt. You're muted, Kurt.
I was hearing some feedback, so I turned off my mic, but it wasn't me after all. But in any case, the next question deals with, Jamie, if you were running the Gutenberg project, what would be two things that you would fix immediately and what would make the most significant difference to end users? But then I couldn't help but think about the user experience, the UX that both of you had commented on. And then I think I'm also a Spectre user. I'm also a Cadence Blocks user and Cadence Pro. And it's so much better in those environments than standard Gutenberg, right?
In what way?
So yeah, if UX was one of the two things, I mean, how would you tackle that without...
Yeah, in what ways do you think it's better in those add-ons?
Well, I just think if I load up a standard fresh WordPress install with, 2023 or 2024 is the theme, and I start playing around trying to build something, there are options for padding, for, the placement of things that just aren't as obvious to adjust as it is using Spectre or using the Cadence tools. You get more options in the right side editing menu when you have those things installed.
And which bits in particular do you think are missing?
Well, for me, I'm not a CSS kind of person, so I need to see the visual button. I need to see the tool. And so for me, we would probably say, the padding and sizing. I'm thinking directly, and maybe it's changed. Maybe I've become so dependent on the crutch that I haven't realized that the broken ankle was healed. But like the column selection, the column size selection in Cadence to me is much more direct and obvious.
Yeah. So you have padding and margin now. I'd recommend, anyone listening to this, go and fire up a copy of InstaWP and install 2024, because that's going to give you the kind of fullest, richest experience at the moment of kind of core Gutenberg. Because if you do that, you're going to have margin and padding and line height and all those kind of things you're going to get in some of those things you just mentioned. Obviously, there's going to be some things you're not going to get. But that's going to be your kind of... And I think it is one of the areas that kind of, it's been one of the missions of my YouTube channel to show people what is possible in core, because there's loads and loads of kind of not some misinformation, but there's a lot of kind of unawareness of actually this stuff is just available for you and you can just do it in core now. A lot of this stuff is there. It's not immediately obvious where it is. Like if the padding and margin are kind of hidden behind three dots, so it's not incredibly simple for you to see, not as nicely laid out as some of those pro add-ons, but they're there, you know, for a lot of the sites, you know, when I used to train people, core would have been absolutely enough for the type of sites they were building for sure.
Nice, nice. What are the two things that you think you would kind of fix immediately if you had the option to do so?
So in terms of high level stuff, I would engage professional user testing tomorrow. Like from an external company, I would get WordPress companies to fund that piece, and I'd make that part of every single release cycle. I think that'd be just feels like a no-brainer to me as somebody that's coming from software development, user testing. And then I would set the block theme team a challenge for a year, and I say this has to be as easy to use as a classic theme in a year. That's your goal and nothing else. That's your primary focus for the next year is that. Because I think from my where I sit here, I think that's the biggest issue for block themes, the UI and making that as easy to use. And I think it's a heck of a challenge, but that's what I would set them. Those two things, I think.
Yeah. I mean, if we look back on like the last roundtable show, Jonathan called me out in front of the other panelists for being I'm the one that said, you know, putting a new user in WordPress standard the way it is, like you said, there's no complaints. It's like handing a child an iPhone or an iPad or a tablet and all they're playing games and they're functioning. My issues, my obstacles, my speed bumps always came when somebody had used, you know, Divi or Elementor or something. And I'm like, well, here's your new site. You know, let me give me a tour. And they're like, well, this doesn't do what I want it to do. And that's where I've had, you know, my personal stumbling blocks. And of course, we mentioned that on the panel show and I got slightly crucified a little bit, but I just didn't see that new users had issues or problems because they didn't realize what they were. Maybe they didn't realize what they were missing, or maybe they didn't realize, maybe other people don't realize it's already there, as you're starting to point out with, hey, download a new version and see what's up.
Yeah. And I do think there's a, you know, I've had quite a few people on my training courses that are coming from Divi and are using Elementor, and they're kind of coming on the courses that and they're completely stuck with those tools. So, and they see the block editor and suddenly it's like really, it feels easier for them to use than a page builder. So, you know, I think part of this is in the there's a big part of this, which is the education piece in terms of just making people aware that this stuff, you know, is possible just using WordPress and a bit of knowledge.
The last few shows we've done, education's been the linchpin that's come up from a few people. Matt Mullenweg being one of them. He said we need better education.
Yeah. Well, that's part of my goal really on my channel. I've partnered now with WordPress.com as well. So I'm producing a series of videos for them. And Envato Tuts, I've been on their channel as well. So it's kind of just trying to spread the message out there. Because I think it's really important that Gutenberg succeeds. You know, I think that's partly why I'm so passionate about it. I think it's super important that WordPress, more than ever at the moment, that Gutenberg wins out, you know, and that's kind of why I'm so passionate about it winning, because of the larger sort of ecosystem that we're facing, or going to be facing, I think, in the next few years.
Yeah. Yeah. Jonathan, back to you, sir.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Jamie. I think it's time for us to go for our middle break. We will be back in a few moments with this fabulous discussion with Jamie. And we'll see how it moves on. We'll be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
Coming back, folks. I think Jamie is getting more relaxed.
No, I'm not.
No? It's only a discussion, Jamie. It's not.
It's firing up.
Right. It's only a little discussion, Jamie. Before we go into the second part of this great discussion, I want to point out we've got a great newsletter that we publish every week with the leading WordPress and tech stories, plus the essential write-up from me. What more could you ask for, Tribe? Probably a lot more, but it is fabulous. So please sign up. I'm begging you. But to find out more about the newsletter and sign up for it, go over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. And you can sign up for the fab newsletter. What more could you ask for? Probably a lot, but that's, like I say, that's all you're going to get. So I'd like to discuss, it's not on our list, but I think it's linked to our discussion in the first half, Jamie, your fabulous discussion with Kevin Gary. It was a fabulous discussion. I think it's one of the best discussions I've seen in a long time. The landscape that you covered, obviously, Kevin's been on my own show as well. He came on my radar because you interviewed him, basically, and it was such a great discussion. He's obviously extremely passionate and a very great expresser of his opinion, his passionate opinion. I think one of the... Because you pointed UX design, but I think one of the areas that Kevin was very passionate about is that he felt that the Gutenberg project was trying to be everything to everybody.
Yeah.
And that leads to a very mediocre product in his own, in his opinion. Obviously, you've had a bit of time. Obviously, you responded in your interview with him, but have you pondered, you've had time to ponder a bit more. How would you respond to that key criticism that he expressed?
Well, that its mission is to democratize publishing.
Well, I think his main criticism is that it's kind of trying to be aimed at a lower level, and then it adds additional functionality so it can meet developers like him that are very class-based focused, and it doesn't meet what they see as their requirements, and it would have been easier to have built it as a class and then modified it so it could be utilized by people that particular section of the WordPress design development community. They're not really interested in that. A, does that make any sense to you? And B, do you think I've kind of placed, because I'm putting words in his mouth.
No, that's fine. I think that's a good summary. I think a lot of these debates I've been thinking about, not Kevin, but a lot of these debates lately, they all come back to abstraction, I think. I think that a lot of these days, and a lot of WordPress debates, all, they all center around abstraction. So WordPress is an abstraction on building sites with HTML and CSS. And then you have plugins are an abstraction, so you don't have to write code to create a WooCommerce site, for example. And then themes are an abstraction, so you don't have to create templates and add fonts and all that sort of stuff. And a lot of these debates are really debating what level of abstraction is right within WordPress, within a monolithic CMS like WordPress. For example, should you be able to develop plugins within WordPress? Like, should WordPress have a plugin development environment in it? Obviously, that's an insane thing to say. But, if you take that to the, that's kind of what we're saying with, you could label that argument and say, why are we trying to write custom CSS within a CMS? CSS should be handled by the theme. And then you add that into that's an abstraction that you add into WordPress. So, and there's an argument to say we should be having code editors to write CSS in WordPress, but it's kind of like, it's just a debate on that level of abstraction that everyone's demanding from it. And, you know, in my new world of speaking to loads of people on my YouTube channel, I can speak one, like last a week and a half ago, I was speaking to the agency Big Byte, who've done this amazing project for the Times, where this is the Times newspaper in England, where they're getting, they basically got this editorial workflow that's coming in from their news desk that feeds into Gutenberg, that's talking to back to the news desk, that has this incredible workflow all built into WordPress. And they've got like hundreds of journalists using the system. So they've got that one perspective. And then you've got perspectives like Kevin, who's kind of, you know, he's kind of talking to the small agency market who kind of control the, from what I understand, you know, the sort of philosophy behind that is they don't like to let their clients access the websites, and they control everything for them. So it's a very tightly controlled environment. So that's another perspective. And then, so you've got all these incredibly different perspectives happening in WordPress. And I'm speaking to a lot of these people now. So you know, but I think a lot of the issues is they just see their own perspective and they think, well, that's WordPress. And that's just not the case. WordPress is this incredible platform that's being used for a million things that I speak to a lot of people in my new world of YouTube, but even I'm completely blown away by the stuff that people are doing it with it. So it does have to be this almost agnostic platform where people can build into it what they want to get it out of them. And I think a lot of the toxicity and vitriol comes from the fact that people aren't aware of the other.
Well, I think it's a lot of people are not prepared to have a grown-up discussion, Jamie. You know, we can agree to disagree. I'm not saying that I'm right. I just got my honest opinion.
I wasn't disagreeing with what you said.
No, that's what I mean.
I was just saying. I think there is always a difference of opinion because people are doing such different things with WordPress.
Yes, sir.
A class-based approach might be great if you're an agency, but a class-based approach can be terrible for somebody that wants to edit their own website and change the design of it. How are they going to go in and edit all the classes if they don't have a clue about CSS? So in that situation, it's really bad. A bricks builder might be great for Kevin and he's doing kind of his agency stuff. The Times would go nowhere nearer a page builder like Bricks. They want to stick as closely as possible to core. The same with TechCrunch, you know, which was the human-made project, and Skyscanner, who they did another project with. So, you know, that's the beauty of WordPress, that you can pick and choose the tools that are out there in the ecosystem to suit your own requirements. But I think there would be greater empathy if people had more awareness of what other cool projects were doing with WordPress, and then they see the world is much bigger than their own tunnel. And again, that's part of my mission on my YouTube channel, to start to bring some of those stories to people. So there is this great awareness of the amazing, I mean, just mind-blowing stuff they're doing, Big Byte, the agency are doing with the Times. It's just phenomenal stuff, you know. And this is the Times newspaper, you know, one of the oldest, incredible newspapers in the world. And it's being run by Gutenberg now. Fantastic. With a headless CMS. You know, it's really cool stuff.
Yeah, really. I totally agree with you there. I think there's two criticisms of Kevin.
Let's not go there. I don't want to criticise Kevin.
Well, I just want to put this to you and you can respond. I don't agree with everything that Kevin agreed. I don't agree with everything that comes out of my mouth. I think some of the criticism that Kevin's received is, I think it wasn't your interview, because I think your interview with Kevin was extremely constructive and respectful. Yeah,
there was no rancor at all.
It was a great discussion.
I love Kevin's content. I think he's a natural educator, obviously, and I think he's got an amazing YouTube channel, and he's really passionate, which we need more passionate people in the WordPress community. So, and I don't really see him getting, I mean, I don't follow a lot of this stuff, but I don't see a lot of criticism out there. I think he's just got a try.
I think some of the criticism he received was when he did this video where he did a, in my opinion, a very intermediate layout. And he said in native Gutenberg, you couldn't really do it. And I agreed. I personally feel it was a very intermediate layout. And I do expect that in native Gutenberg, you should be able to do that type of layout.
Yeah,
and I think the second criticism, and I think some of the criticism...
I think you could do it in about 5 minutes in Gutenberg. Brian Cords did it, and he did a really cool video on it as well. So, but yeah, it's a pretty simple layout that you can do. But again, some of the more complex stuff in that layout was like the hover effect stuff, which again, you could write some... I think Kevin, when he did it, he was writing a lot of CSS for it. I watched his stuff. It was really cool. But if you're abstracting that, you say, well, you're just going to use a plugin for that stuff like 20, which again is, you know, what level of abstraction? WordPress is all about abstraction. You know, what do we need to do to get the job done? You know, are you going to go and install your own server? Are you going to go and build your own CMS? Are you going to go and write your own plugins? Are you going to go and write your own theme? So it's just a debate around abstraction, a lot of this stuff.
Right. I think the second criticism that he has faced, and I'd really love to get your input if you're prepared to give it, is this this attack that he receives that he's pushing his own book of business. Because I went on and had a discussion, an interview with Matt Medeiros, and he kind of brought this up, that he thought that Kevin should be, and I want to find the right word here, his position should be taken into account that he's got his own book of business, his own products. And I don't really follow that, really, Jamie, because everybody's got their book of business. Their position is influenced by their commercial needs and requirements. It just really depends. Is their arguments based on facts and knowledge or just their personal opinions? That's what I consider. Have you been a little bit bemused by this attack that he's received because he's just pushing his book of business?
You got me defending Kevin now, which is a weird sort of...
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a weird place to end up. I don't see any problem with that at all. People are really, it's not like he's hiding it. He's incredibly open about the fact that that's what he's pushing. And, you know, it's purely part of his pitch. So I don't have an issue with Kevin doing that at all. He's, you know, perfectly open about the fact that he's selling his own products. So, you know, and I predict that Kevin will be, here we go. Here's a bold prediction. I predict Kevin will be fully Gutenberged in about a year and a half, 2 years time. Watch this space.
You never know, do you?
Definitely.
More amazing things have happened.
No, you will, because he's got XCSS, which will be, I think he's already supporting generate blocks, and I think he'll, you know, we'll see where we are in 2 years. But that would be my prediction, and nothing wrong with that. That's, you know, that's a pretty valid place to be.
So over to you, Kurt.
I'll just try and lighten the conversation and say, how do you see AI changing both the WordPress and web design in the next year and a half?
I put a Twitter poll out yesterday, and I think I had about 150 replies, and it was like, when do you think AI will replace software development? So software developers. And I think the answers were 50%, and I put like 1 year, 5 years, 10 years or 20 years, and then I had one which was never. 50% of people said never, which I thought was that's never. I mean, never is a really long time, right? So I think AI is, I think it's incredible. And I think we're not able to understand the impact it's going to have yet. I sort of do some days and it scares me, but I think a lot of us are just where this is going. It's going to be crazy. I think it's going to shake up everything. I can't think of anything that's not, apart from maybe eating out, something like that, probably.
Well, anecdotally, we have a user at Lifter LMS that is in the AI space, and he needed things. He was like, I'm not a developer, but I need my site to do front-end course builder. I need my site to do AI course building assistance. I need my, and he literally asked AI to build these things. He put them in the website and the thing works and functions.
Yeah, incredible.
And it might not be the most elegant code, and it might not be what someone as a developer would say, this is quality stuff, but he needed something to happen. He asked AI to make it happen and it works. And it's weird for me to step in and go, well, I think AI is a waste of time when I can see that something like that just worked.
Yeah. I have a few of my friends are doctors and one's a heart surgeon, and he's, you know, telling me some of the, well, and one's an oncologist as well, actually, but what, and they're telling me some of the stuff that's happening just in the sort of medical sphere in AI. And it's mind blowing. And it's also impactful in terms of, you know, if you're a radiographer, I'm not sure that's the right term, but you've trained for 7 years, AI can now, or will be able to do that job better than that person. And so that has, you know, that has big implications. So I think there's a lot of head in the sand stuff at the moment in terms of what's probably going to head our way and how that's going to shake up our industry.
To kind of continue the question or expand it a little, I have a really big automotive and power sports background. Like that's where I come from. And as people got used to the idea of plug in your car and find out what the fault is, right? They think like a diagnostic is a computer thing. I have found that there is so much more value in a seasoned technician to understand, hey, that fault code doesn't mean the O2 sensor is bad. It means your air fuel mixture is not right, you know, and it means that there's 20 things that could cause that. And if I breadcrumb that troubleshooting, that problem solving, so in that situation, organic overcame synthetic. And same with I interviewed a guy who was a famous award-winning copywriter. And he said, the cool thing is I'm more valuable than ever.
Yeah.
But AI's kicking out junk like crazy.
Yeah.
And they need a skill level of mine to come in and clean that up.
Yeah. I've seen that in YouTube as well, actually. I think I'm working with a few companies now in terms of YouTube consultancy because they're seeing the impact of SEO AI content is having some of their traffic. So, you know, how you can create unique, interesting, valuable video content is a really, for now, until AI can do it properly. But I think people are always going to want the human interaction. So I think, you know, video is a really interesting space for that stuff.
Yeah. I just an outsider looking in, it's like, do you double down and get really, really good at your craft and become a master, or do you abandon it because AI is going to steal your job?
Yeah.
That's, you got to make that decision, right?
Yeah. But I think things like trust, you know, building trust with your customers so you can lead them along that journey is going to be essential. Having those relationships, guiding them along that stuff. So I think if you've got sort of transactional relationships with your customers, I think it's time to change those relationships pretty quickly because I think AI is going to impact on that stuff.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. I'd love to question you about how you get your ideas for some of your videos because they're such fantastic. Like you brought your daughters in and they're just fabulous videos. Where did you get that idea from? Because they're just fantastic videos.
Well, I'm planning to get my mum on the channel soon, which I think I'm going to, the plan with her is to show her AI for the first time because ChatGPT's now got you can talk to it, which is really exciting. So I'm going to video her reaction talking to AI for the first time. So in terms of my ideas, I get ideas all the time. I stick them in a spreadsheet. And when I started the channel, I had like 3 ideas. And now I've got over 250 ideas, which I'd love to make videos for. So I'm making there's a few cool ideas. I'm making a video with WP Solid about hiring an ethical hacker to try and break into a WordPress website, which is going to be a really fun video. The ideas are just, you know, what can you take and make it interesting and educational as well, you know? So, bring them up.
So I think you've done such a fantastic job because most of your videos are always entertaining.
You don't see the ones that I don't make. I can. Making one yesterday, which I thought was brilliant, and I watched it this morning. It's just boring as hell, so it's not going anywhere near YouTube.
How do you deal with not? It's so easy to upset people in the WordPress space, isn't it?
Yeah.
I had this. Like I say, recently I've had an interview. I was interviewed by Matt Medeiros, and I said that it was a bit of a shock to me that actually people cared about my views or what I say, really, Jamie, because I got this idea that nobody listens to anything, although I don't think they should listen to anything I've got to say, Jamie. But I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I can just say one sentence and I've been told that there's people in the WordPress space that will never forgive me. And it was just English sarcasm. So how
you have to be careful.
That, has that become a realism as your channel has grown? That well, every word is...
A couple of things. One is English sarcasm is really dangerous because you're sort of schooled in it. I mean, you literally take subjects in it when you go to an English school. So, you know, you either learn sarcasm or you get beaten up at school. So we're all come out with that terrible thing. So you have to stop that because that doesn't translate in, you know, culturally. So, and then the other thing is there are certain points, like you probably realized, that you say stuff and people are, you know, listening and it means something. So you need to, it happened to me when I released a video about Brits last year and, which was me flailing around hopelessly with Brits for the first time. I didn't put it on YouTube. I just put it on Twitter. And it was just literally my first go and I was hopeless and I was very clear that it was my fault and it wasn't Brits. And I got, you know, it was my first proper social, thanks Lance. It was my first social media pylon. Somebody shared it in the Brits group and then Kevin kind of corralled the troops and everyone started piling into me big time, which was, it made me realize what a big mistake it was to make the video and put it on Twitter because people would take it out of context and it wasn't clear enough in explaining, well, it's fairly clear, but I wasn't clear enough in explaining what the purpose of the video was, I think. But it did make me also realize that what you say matters at a certain point. You know, it's all right to say it doesn't matter, but it does matter. So, you know, I'm more careful now in terms of the stuff I say, I think.
Oh, I am. It might not show. You might think, what the hell is he talking about? But I've actually modified things a little bit. So let's go on to the last question, one of my favorites. So if you had a time machine like H.G. Wells.
Yeah.
And you could go back to the beginning of your career and your business WordPress journey.
Yeah.
Is there one or two tips or insights that you love to actually tell yourself, actually? Would it be not coming on this podcast?
No, this has been great fun. I'm not with stuff. I think it would be probably start my business earlier, you know, to understand when you're young, because I think when you're young, you feel like, especially if you're English, there's this innate fear that's a failure that's grilled into you at school.
Yeah.
Just because of the way the education system works.
Yeah.
And I would tell myself, go off and fail 10 times and try and do your own business, you know, when you're 21. I mean, it's quite good that I didn't because I actually learned some stuff by running companies and understanding how boards work and understanding how public companies work and all that stuff. So that did have value, but I would say to myself, and especially say to my kids now, there's never been a better time to start your own businesses and do your own thing. Don't be enslaved by just feeling like you've got to go off and work for other people. There's never been an easier time to go off and do your own stuff. So I'd probably say that to myself, take more risks when you're younger and don't worry about failing. Go off and fail a few times and learn from it quickly.
I think...
One thing here is all these sort of, because I've been around some successful entrepreneurs on my journey, and the only thing that's really connected them all, they haven't been brilliant people. Sorry if you're listening, they've been good, but they haven't been geniuses. But the one thing that's connected them all is they just get up and do it again and do it again and do it again and fail and fail and fail and fail, and they don't care about it. So I would, you know, that's the biggest lesson I would go into.
Yeah, well, I'm used to failure because I'm a dyslexic. So can you imagine me?
Well, a lot of the great business leaders are, aren't they? And a lot of successful people are.
Education system in the 60s and 70s as a dyslexic, I got very used to having to deal with failure and just move on.
Yeah.
So it's been a fab discussion, actually.
Thank you.
Where do you honestly, because obviously I had interviewed the great leader and he kind of said I'm one of the most, What was the phrase he utilized for me, Kurt?
He described you as being a little critical.
A little critical. I've kind of seen, but actually, I'm passionately want Gutenberg to be the solution, Jamie. No question asked. That if people want to use something else, good luck to them. But I want Gutenberg by a considerable margin.
Well, go and, as
the de facto solution for WordPress. Let me finish.
Sign up for WP, install 2024 and play with it for 2 hours. That's what I recommend everyone does. Yeah, get some hands-on experience with it, and then you'll have that in your head of what's possible.
Yeah. So, but
subscribe to my YouTube channel as well.
But with the, and I totally agree with you, some of the quality of people involved recently, things seem to me to be moving in the right direction. Where would you like WordPress? Because where would you like the Gutenberg to be in, let's say, 6 months by the end of this year? We're in the end of the first quarter. Where would you personally like it to be?
I would like to be able to give a block theme to one of my daughters, because I did a test actually a while ago where I gave her a block theme and Cadence and gave her 10 tasks to do, and Cadence was much easier for her. I'd like to repeat that process.
These comments are real.
I would like to be able to give her a block theme in a year's time and it to be as easy to use as a classic theme. That would be my dream scenario for Gutenberg over the next year. I think that should be the priority.
It's been a fab. So what's the best way for people to find out more about yourself, Jamie, and your thoughts and ideas?
Yeah, Twitter is at PootlePress, PootlePress. And then YouTube, if you just go to YouTube and Google Jamie WordPress, you'll find me there.
That's fabulous. And hopefully you will agree to come on the show again, because I think it's been a fab discussion.
Of course.
Jamie understands my humour. Do you think it is humour, or do you think I'm just deluding myself, Jamie?
No, I understand your humour, Jonathan.
All right. I don't. So, here we go. So, Kurt, how can people find out more about you and what you're up to?
Well, apparently, unlike Jamie, nobody's finding me on YouTube. So you got to find me on LinkedIn. I'm the only Kurt Von Annen on LinkedIn. And anything that's Manana Nomas online generally leads back to me. I'd love to have you over there.
That's fab. I also want to point out, folks, that if you're looking for a great WordPress partner, a hosting partner, and you build membership or community websites on BuddyBoss, why don't you look at becoming a WP Tonic professional partner? We love you to come on board. We've got some great packages. I'm sure you'll find them really attractive. You can find more details by going over to WP-Tonic/partners. WP-Tonic/partners. And we'd love you to become a professional partner with WP Tonic. It's a fab solution if you're building membership community websites on a regular basis. We will be back next week with another great interview, another friendly interrogation. We will be back next week, folks. See you soon. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.